3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. It's toasty. I mean, it's 97, but not awful. Believe it or not, the humidity is relatively low, although we've got thunderstorms coming in, and it will be what it will be. You know, it's hysterical. I'm listening to Charles Pyle. Charles, as you know, is our news director, news anchor in the afternoon, just a rock solid real journalist, like the real deal. So we're very, very fortunate to have him on the team in general and on this program in particular. But I'm listening to the news report there. At the same time, I'm actually reading a story about the ACLU of Virginia announcing that they are, let me say, he said, investigating. They're going to investigate ICE. Hey, dear ACLU, go to hell. Sincerely, everyone. God, what a useless, reprehensible organization the ACLU is today in the year 2025. Has it always been this? Well, I suppose it depends who you would ask. There was certainly a time in my life where I looked at the ACLU and I thought, you know, you've got to defend everyone's right to speak freely. I believe that to my core. To my core. I love that First Amendment. And I think everyone has got the right to speak freely. I encourage it. I cherish that right. And that is what was at the center of the ACLU's activities in the past, defending free speech, defending the rights of people who said absolutely despicable, ugly, vile, disgusting things. They defended the rights of the Nazis to march in Skokie, Illinois. Horrible group of human beings. One of whom, by the way, the leader, Frank Collin was the name he used then. I don't know. Number one, I don't know if he's still alive. And if he is, what name he uses now. Because he had, how do you phrase this? He had some negative interaction with law enforcement. That whole really being fond of kids thing didn't quite work out for him the way he thought it was. But nonetheless. The ACLU defended the right of the Nazis to march in Skokie. Why was it so important to the Nazis to march in Skokie? Because Skokie, Illinois, at the time, had one of the largest concentrations of survivors of the Holocaust. The Nazis were determined to march in the streets of Skokie so that people who had escaped the real Nazis would have to look at this collection of misfits and hear them screaming, you know, Hitler didn't finish the job. I don't know. It was all sorts of terrible stuff. It was also my first real look at the ugliness of the real world at times. Because I took a school bus. I was 12, 13, something like that. And there were a group of us. We traveled from Philadelphia. It was part of a group. We traveled out to Skokie, Illinois. My parents were either crazy or they understood my passion on this, but they let me go. And a hellacious ride, let me tell you. It's not like one of these beautiful limousine coach things. No, this was a school bus. But I went. And I hated the ACLU at that time. I really did. Hated them. Hated them with a passion. I hated Alan Dershowitz at that time because Alan was one of the guys on the front lines defending the rights of the Nazis to speak freely. And years later, well, you know, I mean, Alan Dershowitz pops on the up on this program on a pretty regular basis. I've shared this story with him, and he's laughed. Yeah, you know what? You're in good company. My mother hated me. Good for her. But he understood why I hated what he was doing. Believe me, I didn't actually hate. Well, maybe at the time, because I was a kid, I probably did hate him. But I hated what he was doing. And he said, "It's okay. You know, I'm all good. I just happen to believe in that Constitution." Problem is, the ACLU no longer believes in the Constitution. The problem is that the ACLU has become what many had accused it of being all along, and that is kind of a communist front, socialist front, progressivist front group. Because you take a look at what they do now, there's no defense of free speech. None. They're not interested in that. So this idea that they do not want law enforcement officers engaging in law enforcement activities, I'm telling you right now, you can blow it out your rear end there, ACLU. Full steam ahead for the folks of ICE. I can't believe they showed up at a courthouse. Guess what happens at courthouses all the time? People get arrested. You know why? Because court records are all public. Everybody knows who's going into the courthouse. And diligent law enforcement personnel who may have outstanding warrants for certain people, take a look at those things. You know what happens with bad guys? They have a tendency to do bad things over and over and over again. This is not out of the realm of the impossible or even the unusual. It quite literally happens every single solitary day all across America. I don't know if it happens elsewhere. I have no idea. I don't know if the court dockets are public in Australia, or I don't know. So I can't tell you what they do there. But I can tell you, the United States, you have entire units that are warrant units. And you know what they do? Well, they serve warrants, obviously. I always wanted to get on the warrant unit in Philadelphia. God, what a good deal that was. It was, you just did warrants. You just went out and you got bad guys. You served the warrants on the bad guys, took the bad guys away. It was actually a pretty good deal. But anyway, I thought it was good duty, but I never did get into the warrant squad. This, however, is not unusual. This is my point. So let's see. What is her name? Mary Bauer is the spokesflack for the ACLU of Virginia. And let me share it with you, because she gave this to Channel 8. Quote, "The right to access the courts is a fundamental one because all of the rights depend on it. But Virginians who rely on the protection of the courts will be forced to go without it if ICE's presence means Virginia courthouses are no longer safe." Hey, Mary, I got news for you. The courthouses are safer now because additional criminals were arrested. They were taken away. These people won't be able to go to court. Why are they going to court in the first place? Outstanding criminal charges. Wow. Mary Bauer of the ACLU says, quote, "We won't let our judicial system be corrupted into a despotic mechanism for masked men to disappear Virginians. ICE doesn't keep us safe. We do." I don't want you to take it the wrong way, ma'am, but you're not keeping anybody safe. You're not doing anything that is good in this. We don't want to corrupt the judicial system. Yeah, you do. At this point, I would dare say that the entire mission of the ACLU is to corrupt the judicial system. Masked men. You mean ICE agents? Why is it that some of the ICE agents are wearing those gaiters, the face things? You know why? Because there has been an organized effort on the part of TDA and MS-13 and other criminal enterprises to dox every agent and their families with the mission to kill them. So I really am perfectly okay if they decide to cover up just a little bit. I mean, it gets chilly in the courthouse. ICE doesn't keep us safe. We do. No, you're not keeping anybody safe, ma'am. Except for criminals. And I don't know what has happened to the ACLU. I don't know if this Mary Bauer lady has always been advocating on behalf of the criminal element, or if this is a new thing. No idea. Don't care. I want the law to be followed. Period. End of story. That's all. 8 News says it continues to investigate information about those detained by ICE at the courthouse. Investigate? What are you investigating? Really? Who at 8 News is, quote, investigating? What is the investigation? You want to find out who's being held? All right, well, that's fine. I guess that technically would be investigating. make it sound like they've taken out their Sherlock Holmes hat and their magnifying glass, and they're going to be walking around the courthouse down there in Chesterfield looking for clues. You know, if I were you, I would call him Blue, because Blue's Clues are the way to go. That's what I think. Anyway, we got a lot of great stuff coming up this afternoon. The media equalizer, Brian Maloney, is going to be along. He'll be here at 3:35. My friend Ryan Hudson. Ryan is a member of the Board of Supervisors up here in Hanover County. I want to talk to him a little bit about the possibility of this water authority, regional water commission sort of thing. And I want to know about the pay raises up here. The Hanover County Board of Ed gave themselves a 100% pay increase. They doubled their salaries. And I think that's pretty good if you can do it. That's not bad. And then Rob Chadwick. God, Rob is such a... You would talk about some guy who is just all over it. One of the best of the best. Rob is that guy. Rob Chadwick, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, now with the United States Concealed Carry Association. And, you know, Rob joins us on a pretty regular basis. But the whole thing right now, whether you're your church or your synagogue or your mosque or your temple, I don't know, whatever the terminology is in your particular faith, is it safe? Is it safe? Rob is going to address that with us as we head through the afternoon. And don't you go anywhere, because just a moment from now, I have a gigantic announcement. And I'm not, no, Jerem, I'm not giving you any tip-offs. I am looking right now at this new computer laptop screen. And even though Jeremy is not featured, I can feel his presence. No, Jerem, I'm not going to tell you before I tell everybody else. So just be patient, my friend. It is 316 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 321 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. My dear friend Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, is going to be along at 3:35. We'll talk a little bit about what has been, at least in my opinion, a tremendous week of wins. Win after win after win for President Trump. And more examples of epic failures and complete and total lies being perpetrated by so many in the legacy news media. In particular, the one lady over there, the New York Times and CNN, who said, well, you know, there was no damage in Iran. Huh? She had a leaked copy of a very preliminary report. You know that story. You've heard about it. Hell, Mark Warner, the ever constipated Mark Warner, is trying to get, you know, well, I've never leaked anything. Dude. Were it not for your constipation, I gotta sense you'd be leaking all the time and everywhere. But yeah, of course, I don't believe him for a second. Nonetheless, she is the same lady who provided the in-depth report that said all of the allegations about Hunter Biden's laptop, why, it's all Russian disinformation, which, as we know, was complete and total bullcrap. Now, let me share with you a lovely, lovely announcement. In fact, the best piece of information that I have gotten today. You know that this Saturday, June the 28th, I was supposed to be boarding an airplane heading to Israel as part of a major, major mission visit to Israel. I don't know if I shared all of the details with you, because I'm not supposed to share them all, so I guess I haven't. Suffice to say, however, it comes from the very highest levels inside of Israel and some pretty high levels here in the United States. But... the trip this Saturday, of course, is off. They canceled it. I shared that with you. That was the worst thing that I had seen in a while. But I just received the official notification not more than 45 minutes ago. The trip is, in fact, back on, and it will be in August. I will give you the details on all of it as it gets closer and closer and closer. But it will be, well, for me, I think it's going to be the singularly most important, most meaningful trip that I've ever taken. I mean, aside from driving Heidi to the hospital to you know, give birth to our kids and stuff like that. But you understand what I'm saying. So it is a big deal. I am thrilled beyond all belief. But that is going to happen in August. So excited, so thrilled. Just great stuff. Anyway, speaking of great stuff, my friend Brian Maloney will be here at 3:35, the media equalizer. It is 3:25. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRV. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and it's a tad toasty, but I'm telling you right now, it is not nearly as painful as it was for the last couple of days. It's 95, but the humidity is much lower. So you're probably not going to want to be hanging out all that much outside, but you're not going to melt. It's doable. And then we've got all of these thunderstorms rolling in, I guess, a little bit later tonight and then pretty much through next week, Tuesday, Wednesday. So it's going to get a little damp. All right. We got a lot of great stuff coming up this afternoon. My buddy Ryan Hudson, who's a member of the Hanover County Board of Soups up here in beautiful Hanover County, which is beautiful, and it's absolutely filled up. We have no room for anybody else. I told Rich Herrera that last night. He came over for dinner. We were happy to host him. Talked about how impressed he was with Ashland and Hanover, and I said, yes, it is beautiful, and now you have to leave. So, you know, leave your money, and then everybody has to get out. Rob Chadwick, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, will be here at 5:35. Ryan from the Board of Soups is going to talk a little bit about our Board of Education up here. They just doubled their own salary, which not bad if you can do it. Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, I would imagine, would say, sure, double my salary if, in fact, it was up to him. But he is the guy that takes a look at the coverage, sees what's going on, especially, and keeps everybody as honest as possible. Brian, thank you for being here, sir.
Well, hey, I'd like to triple my salary.
Yeah, exactly.
Why you stop at double?
Can you believe that?
Quadruple. Yeah. I mean, think big, Jeff.
That's right.
You know, you're
working hard. Absolutely. I say.
Well, we went into the wrong line of business. These people in politics are unbelievable. They really are. I mean, they're just shameless.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hopefully we'll get some answers in about an hour. Hey, this was a great week for President Trump, was it not?
Well, I think so. I mean, what in particular, though, Jeff, are you, like what particular thing did you think?
One of the highlights for me was when he said they don't know what they're effing doing, which I know is inappropriate, but man, I think it reveals for a lot of people exactly who President Trump is. And this whole tour with NATO, where they're referring to him as daddy. I don't know. I just get the sense he really is firing on all cylinders.
Well, he always knows how to anger his opponents. So he always knows exactly where the buttons are to press in someone's back to get them to respond the way he wants. And I think that's the real skill that he will be known for in history, is he just knows how to anger his enemies. Like nobody I've ever seen or will again ever.
Yeah. Yeah, he is the guy. All right. Well, what did you make of the week? Victories, losses? What do you see?
Well, I think it's, the problem that I have this year, this time every year, is that you move into the summer, and Congress already does nothing all year long as it is, and then they do even less, in June, July, August than usual. Which is bad enough, So are things moving forward the way they could be? No, but I'm not talking so much about him. I'm talking about them, and I'm talking about, there are still hundreds of appointments that haven't even been made yet. There's actually a tracker for this that's online. I'll have to get you the address sometime.
Yeah,
but. The bottom line there is that, from my perspective, I think that his picks need to be confirmed. There are many that he has made that have just gone nowhere. And that's up to the Senate to do something, and they haven't been.
Oh, interesting. Well, so what's the holdup? Is it more horse trading going on there in the Senate?
No, I think it's laziness. I think it's just not meeting often enough. They're just not in session often enough. But I also think that the other factor of it is obstruction. You know, you have people within, you know, within his own party that are holding him up on things left and right. It's the McConnell-Murkowski wing.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting on things. And I really think that Mitch still runs the Senate. I mean, John Thune is his puppet. And, you know, I think we should have known that from the beginning. Everyone should have been clear that Thune was a puppet of McConnell. Mm. And yet people acted like he was going to be this great, you know, guy that was going to do. It's like, wait, if you ever paid attention to John Thune all these years, if you ever, you would know that he is not on the same page. Not at all.
Wow. Is it possible to rectify that, or are we just done?
No, I mean, I don't want to say that we're done in any way. Part of the thing here is that the way things are now in Washington, it's very unpredictable. You know, so it's hard to make predictions like that because a lot of stuff comes out of left field. It's not just because of the president, but it's just the way things seem to operate there now. I mean, it's something that's new in the last few years or whatever, but there's something, it's always surprises, you know? And so anything can happen. I mean, the Senate composition could change. Maybe somebody passes away or something or resigns or, you know, and then someone else is appointed. For instance, say Mitch McConnell, you know, I mean, the guy's barely coherent.
Yeah.
You know, and when he is gone, you know, when something happens like that, I know there are some people who are worried that, but you know, that the governor would be able to appoint his replacement, which actually isn't true in the case of Kentucky. It'd be the legislature that would do it.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, until the end of that term. So that's what I'm saying. There are a lot of things like that. And I also, because I've been in the news business a long time, and you have too, I have found over the course of many, many years that the weirdest things in news cycles happen during holiday weekends, summer breaks, the day before Christmas, I don't know, Thanksgiving weekend, you know. So we go into July 4th, and that's, you know, people's minds are beginning to get checked out, right? Not just Capitol Hill, but everywhere. Yes. You go into, like, this sort of vacation mode time of year. And that, to me, is when things always get the weirdest.
Yeah.
So I just remember times in newsrooms where you think, oh, I have to work this really slow weekend, and then some blockbuster thing would happen, and people would have to come out of their breaks and come back to work. You know, not that there are many people working in newsrooms anymore, but
well,
there used to be. They used to be well-staffed. Now they barely exist, but, you know, that's a different story.
And you're right. God, to see. Did you ever think, by the way, and we're going down an interesting rabbit hole here, but did you ever think that you and I, who were, because I've still got the clippings from places like, Talkers and a few other things. Did you ever think that you and I, who were the young guns, the new generation of talk radio, would now be sitting around saying, let me tell you what happened way back when?
Well, that, you know, it's funny. You and I really are in that same boat, because 30 years ago or so, we were some of the youngest talkers in the country. And I remember catching absolute, you know what, from the older hosts who were routinely, I don't know, mid-50s and older. Mid-50s was about the youngest host that there was anywhere.
That's right.
And they looked at me like, what are you doing on the air? And I would say, you know what? I don't know how I got here either. It's all kind of a fluky long story. I really can't tell you.
Right.
But here I am. The microphone's on and it's my name's on it for the next 3 hours. I don't know what to tell you, buddy, but you know how I got through it? I always made friends with the news curmudgeon, the news anchor curmudgeon, who was usually like, you know, 3 years past retirement or whatever, but was going to always be in that news anchor chair. And I befriended them at every station, and I would learn everything from them. I would just listen. And I'm telling you, it was so valuable. Those friendships were incredible.
Yeah.
And sometimes the station managers would wonder why, am I being so young? I was hanging out with the oldest guy in the station. Well, the oldest guy knew everything. He had all the stories.
Yep.
You know, he knew how everything worked. And it was fantastic.
Oh, man, some great memories there. Hey, Brian, I want folks to make sure they are following you in the latest incarnation as the media equalizer on Facebook. Remind everybody what you're doing over there and how they can sign up. They should
you,
be following.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. By the way, I had fun reminiscing there.
Same here. But now, before you even, next time we do that, you need to be here or I need to be there, and there need to be one or two.
Oh, that would be fun. Oh, that would be a blast.
And maybe a beverage too.
Yeah. We will have to do that. Yes.
I love it.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right. Now, the Media Equalizer on Facebook.
Yeah, So that's exactly right. So it is one word, Media Equalizer. And that's the way, that's the best way, you know, in the short time we have here for your listeners to find us. And I'm always appreciative of their support, always.
Excellent. Well, Brian Maloney, I appreciate you being here, my friend.
We will talk
again soon. That is Brian Maloney, the Media Equalizer. If you are not following him on Facebook, I would urge you again and again and again and again, because I have done it many, many, many times. Check it out. Because what Brian is able to do is analyze the stories, get them to you, frankly, before anybody else has them, and give you the real perspective that you need. And he's the best of the best. I love him. All right, 3:46, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 3:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Friday Eve. Very disturbed text here from 804. Twice in the last hour, Jeff Katz has said that today is Friday. Germ, do you think people are surprised when I actually answer occasionally the texts? I think they are. I don't think they expect me to answer. But that was an easy one, right? I'm not going to answer some of the crazy stuff. If you're sending a text and it's contained on more than 25 different entries, you might as well be writing in crayon, because you're nuts, and I'm not going to do it. But 804, twice in the last hour, Jeff Katz said today is Friday. No, actually, I have not. That's what I typed back. I texted back. No, I have not. I say Friday Eve. Thank you for listening, mostly, LOL. So, yes, it is Friday Eve. It's a lot easier to take that than the dreaded T word. Just got a lovely note from John Reed, our former host of Richmond's Morning News, now the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor, letting me know that he has officially challenged his opponent, State Senator Ghazala Hashmi. I would say of Chesterfield, or is it Richmond? Or I mean, if she doesn't know where she lives, how the heck am I supposed to know where she lives? But anyway, he has challenged Ghazala Hashmi to 10 televised debates all across Virginia. If Senator Hashmi believes in her ideas, she would welcome the opportunity to defend them in front of Virginians from all walks of life. And John actually proposed a debate schedule to ensure that voters from every corner of Virginia, urban, rural, and suburban, have the opportunity to hear directly from the candidates. He's suggesting two debates in Northern Virginia, two debates in Southwest Virginia, two debates in the Richmond region, two debates in the Tidewater region, one debate at a at an HBCU, historically black college or university, and one debate in Charlottesville. Okay. Wow. Nice. I think that's right. I think that's great. We'll see what Senator Hashmi has to say. I've got a sneaking suspicion she's not going to be all that interested in participating, which is sad. But then again, if you take a look at some of her activity, she's really good at the AOC-style street protest. Remember, she was down there in front of the church, harassing people and disturbing people who were there for the Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death anniversary commemoration, all that. So I don't know. Maybe she will show up. I hope she does. Oh, somebody sent me a note. Hey, Jeff, you said that you invited Rich Herrera to your house. We did. Rich Herrera, who is the current host of Richmond's Morning News, 6 o'clock in the morning, each and every morning. I would urge you to check Rich out. But he's relatively new to town, and he's here solo. And believe me, I know how that is. I don't care if you've got friends. I don't care if you listen. When you are away from your family, it gets to be a bit of a pain. It's why the studio at the Radio Factory is so clean right about now, because he doesn't have any place else to go. So he's cleaning and vacuuming and dusting. It's really nice. We're hoping he'll come out here to the house and do some of that work. But he did ask me. I said, when was the last time the studio was that clean? I can tell you. And I said, I can tell you exactly when. He said, when? I said, it was 13 years ago. And he said, why? I said, because that I was in your situation. I had nothing else to do. So I was at the Radio Factory every moment of the day. But all of that being said, Rich was up here, and we were just thrilled to have him up here. He was a delightful guest, and hopefully we were pretty good hosts. But the question was he a good guest? He was. He was a very nice guest, and he brought gifts. Some wine, some flowers, and all of that good stuff. So it's nice. 357, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.